we head back in time now to the early 1980s and some of the most forgettable Seattle Mariners seasons ever. The team was bad, but while the M's were posting losing records, one particular player was releasing a pretty good record. Sound effect contributor Hans Anderson tells the story of how a baseball strike led one Mariner to become the new musical version of himself he always wanted to be.
Growing up going to Mariners games, there were a few replays I remember seeing highlighted on the Jumbotron pretty much every time I went to the Kingdome. There's the 95 slide, which sent the Mariners to the American League Championship Series. There's a grand slam by Edgar Martinez from one game before the 95 slide. And then there's a hit by Amos Otis of the Kansas City Royals on May 27th, 1981.
Otis, right-handed hitter against reliever Larry Anderson.
In the video, Otis hits a little dribbler down the third base line. Seattle infielder Lenny Randle drops to his hands and knees and, by nearly every account except his own, blows the ball out of bounds. Blowing on the ball is deemed player interference. Otis advances to first, which Randle takes some issue with.
Randle cannot get down and influence.
Your eyes are not always what you see, you know what I'm saying? If I yelled at the ball and the ball continued to go the way away from my breath as I'm yelling, I wouldn't call that blowing, I would call it yelling. And I yell so strong, there was like an earthquake, like a volcano erupting. Because when I get mad, I really get mad. I mean, it's like hot sauce. So the ball went foul.
You heard that right. Lenny Randle is saying that he yelled the ball out of bounds. This highlight stands out in a mediocre season in a series of other mediocre seasons by a mediocre baseball team. But it wasn't the only contribution made to Seattle by Randle. In his 2 years as a Mariner, his personality made him a sports icon here. Fans would write letters to the Seattle Times praising him. There are newspaper reports that he almost became an announcer for the Supersonics. And most importantly for this story, he wrote what I feel is a really good funk song about the Kingdome. Randle's musical history starts back in his home of Compton, California.
Our families on Sundays would dress up like the Jacksons or the Huxtables or the Ozzy and Ricky Nelson because we thought we were musicians and artists and singers. So all our uncles, and my grandmother had 13 kids, so do the math times 9. That's where I stopped doing the math. I couldn't keep up. So I have a lot of siblings that thought we were the Temptations, the Supremes, the Four Tops. You name a group, and we thought we were, or we'd do the impressions on Sunday after church. Because we thought, oh, wow, we got this. We sound pretty good. At least we thought we sound good.
Randle felt that he would become a musician after he went to school. Clearly, he was good at baseball, though, and was drafted by the Washington Senators. He bounced around to a few different teams, had a pretty good year with the Mets in 77, and then landed on the Seattle Mariners, where he played in that monolithic concrete structure, the Kingdome. He was enamored with it. He was even interested in the pronunciation of the thing.
Well, there's two versions of it. First, when some people say kingdom with the E at the end, kingdom, and some say kingdome. So it depends on your culture, if you're from Jerusalem, Italy, or South Central. So, and if from Seattle, kingdom. Everybody said, we're going to go to the Kingdome to watch a game, because that was a big thing to watch David Craig and all the larger catch passes when the Seahawks were there. So when the Mariners came in, we're the new Mariners, I said, God, this Kingdom, you mean we're going to play? We're not going to get rained out? This is the Kingdome. And everybody said, say Kingdome.
And you raise your hands high in the air and you make them like an arm. You can do it at home. You can do it in the dark. It's called the Kingdome.
But let's back up a bit. Before Kingdome was a recorded song, it was just a joke between some players during batting practice. Somewhat memorable early Mariners like Julio Cruz and Dave Henderson were with Randle.
We're on the batting cage hitting, and I said, Kingdome, and David Henderson said, now when you're in the Kingdome, you got to check out the AstroTurf. Now check out the turf, and Dave, I said, Dave, that's a song, bro.
Now when you're in the Kingdome, you got to check out the AstroTurf. Now check out the turf. That's AstroTurf.
And then came the 1981 player strike, which put the baseball season on hold and gave Randle the opportunity he'd been waiting for.
Good evening, fans. The national pastime, which for the last 50 days has been a national pain in the neck.
Our payroll stopped. Do you understand that when there's a strike, you don't get paid. So where's your alternative? Food stamps? Stay out in the line with a can? Perform? Ask for charity? Sell your house and car?
All of a sudden, there were 40 unemployed athletes in Seattle who had lots of free time, a song about the kingdom, and who needed a little extra money. Randall finally had an opportunity to be the performer he had wanted to be in his childhood. He organized shows at clubs in Seattle initially, and eventually at the Moore Theater. The centerpiece of these shows was Randall and a handful of other Mariners performing the song Kingdom. It even had an accompanying dance where you put your hands over your head in an arc and mimic running around the bases. The Seattle Times said of the show, quote, "The joint was jumpin'," end quote. Some of the shows were benefits, one to buy a voice synthesizer for a young Mariners fan with cerebral palsy. Other shows benefited players, with Randall paying his teammates a couple $100.
And now, I'm not Bank of America, but at least you can get some groceries.
The player strike ended, but by that time, Randall had gone down to California to record the song with his brother, his niece, and a teammate, Thad Bosley. They also recorded a song for the B-side of that EP, a sultry jam filled with baseball puns called I'm a Ball Player.
I'm a ball player.
Randall was cut by the Mariners in 1982 and left Seattle to play professionally in Italy. His recording of Kingdom gained a little bit more popularity after it was reissued on Wheatle's Groove Volume 2, a compilation of Seattle soul and funk. Regardless, Randall certainly left his mark on the city, not for his mediocre .231 batting average, necessarily, but for being a character, which fits into Randall's life philosophy.
We're entertainers for life, whether we like it or not. We are entertainers for life, so we're supposed to do something. It's a calling for us to do what we do, make people happy, give scholarships, give what you have back. Because most of us don't need the money. We just need another opportunity to make people's lives better, and that's what the calling is.
At 70, Randall is doing pretty well. But the kingdom? Not so much. It never made it to see the age of 25.
I hate they tore it down. We're still crying. Every time we see it, there's a guy named DJ Assassin in Seattle. They always send me the video of the last day of the kingdom. And I'm going, my song died with the destruction of the kingdom.
Randall may be a bit too hard on himself. The dome may be gone, but Randall and his funky ode to the former Seattle landmark live on.